In the early years of Talking Pictures, Shirley Temple was not only among Hollywood's youngest actors, she was one of its biggest stars. With a career that began in pictures when she was not quite 5 years old, Temple would be a favorite at the box office throughout the 1930s and left a lasting imprint on movies and television into the 1960s when she turned her attention to humanitarian and diplomatic interests. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Shirley Temple Black died on February 10th of this year at the age of 85. To remember one of Hollywood's biggest little stars, I'm happy to have Jack Fields back in the studio. Fields is a cinephile who's been watching and thinking about Shirley Temple and a graduate student at New Mexico State University. Good morning, Jack.
Morning. Great to be back.
Nice to see you. You actually proposed doing a show on Shirley Temple, and I thought, sure, why not? She's an enduring... I think that face and those curls are stuck in a lot of people's minds, even if they don't know the films. But Shirley Temple worked up into the 1960s, but it was really her starring roles in a number of 20th Century Fox films in the 1930s that we think of when we hear her name. How did she get her start?
Well, I think, as you know, Chuck, my greatest era of interest is the golden great age of the studio era, the 30s and 40s. And in that era of Garbo and Gable and Crawford and Harlow, it's amazing to me that with all those great, great stars, this tiny little girl could be above all of them in box office and audience appeal.
For 4 years running, even.
From 1935 to 1938, she was the top in box office appeal.
Amazing. But she started even, you know, I think most people think of her in the mid to late 30s when she was probably... 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, but her start came even earlier.
Yeah, she started in dance at just 3 years old. Her mother, from what I understand, and when I read her autobiography, I skimmed it again this week, but her mother even danced and listened to music when she was pregnant with her, because her mother was a dancer as well, Gertrude, and got her starting with the Meglin's Dance School for Children when she was just 3 years old. And that's where she was discovered by a studio that – a sort of a B-picture studio called Educational Pictures, which specialized in shorts and
one-reelers and two-reelers.
And one of which was the Baby Burlesques, which were sort of an answer to the R-Gang films. And if you YouTube them, they are very cute. They're basically – toddlers doing adult roles. They're
in adult
kind of
clothes,
odd.
And, and scenarios that would be more adult.
they are cute, but they're also a little
Right.
I can't think of a
couldn't do it
yes,
today.
Yes, but they are fun to watch, to say the least. But after that studio went bankrupt, Shirley had done enough material to where she was familiar, at least to the studios that had seen that stuff, one of which was Fox Pictures. So in 1934, they signed her up to a contract and put her in minor material. But her first starring role was actually a loan out to Paramount called Little Miss Marker. And that that film became such a hit that she was immediately signed up to big, big pictures. And her first film above the title was, I think, one of her best pictures, Bright Eyes, which is one of the ones that she's most famous for, on the Good Ship Lollipop and all that stuff.
Yeah, the famous song, the song she made.
That's probably, I think that one might be her quintessential film. They do become pretty formulaic after that.
But what was it about Shirley Temple, though, at that, you know, that she would have been around a lot of other child actors? What was about her that you think that attracted audiences to her and her films?
Well, if you look at the times, I mean, it was the height of the Great Depression, and I think that's when the movies were at their greatest power. I think that's why I love it so much, is because in such grim times, what we had was the movies. You know, when I talk to people of that era who are still alive, like my grandparents, they say that that's what they had, was the movies.
Yeah. And I think if you look at her filmography, where Fox, and particularly Daryl Zanuck, who was running the studio and making the choices for her, many of the roles in the 30s she's in during the Depression, as you mentioned, she has a way of softening the times around her. She's often up against other characters that are fairly hardened, and they become soft around her. And she has this impact on her environment on the screen But as you say, the audience coming in is also looking to soften their lives.
Right. Like in 1934's Now and Forever, I mean, she's up against Gary Cooper and Carole Lombard. Mm-hmm. And those are two of the greatest stars of all time. But I think the one that seems to steal the movie is Shirley Temple, this little six-year-old girl.
Often depicted as motherless or fatherless or parentless.
Right.
This child who's in a tough world that somehow transforms it. And I think that fantasy, you know, it sort of follows a bit of what would become a Disney model, even if you think about it.
Right. It's that case, again, with Bright Eyes. James Dunn is this pilot godfather who fights with Charles Sellon, who, when her mother dies, they fight for custody of her. It's that case with Curly Top, which is, again, another quintessential, pretty stereotypical formula. John Bowles wants to adopt her when she's an orphan. And again, he falls in love with her older sister. And it always has to do with who gets custody of this adorable little child who can sing and dance
we
and do everything. And yes.
That rising popularity, as you mentioned, from 35 to 38, she was the top box office earner in America as far as actors go. And of course, she was paid handsomely at that young age.
Yeah, in 1934, her contract started at $150 a week. And then by 1935, it was $1,250 a week.
Wow.
And then by 1936, it was, I believe it was $2,000 a week. And that's in 1935 and 36. So that would be pretty healthy sum.
And on top of that, we think of merchandising today.
Merchandising and also price per picture. That was just her salary. She also got paid, I believe it was like $20,000 per picture or something like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's as a child. That is before the year of 10 years old.
You know? And I know that Zanuck was very shrewd about this, but he knew that all children grow up. And he had somehow gotten the concession out of her parents to let him put her in up to four films per year so he could milk this for all it was worth.
Right. In 1934 alone, she made 9 movies.
Yeah. So that cash register was going all
and
the
adults
time.
Nowadays, it's considered kind of overexposure if they make more than, what, 2 or 3?
Right. The popularity of her at such a young age paved the way for people later, maybe like we think of Margaret O'Brien, I think, who came into films about the same age as Shirley Temple did.
Or even before Shirley Temple, we had Jackie Cooper, who got a Best Actor Oscar nomination at 8 years old. But I don't think anybody had quite that enormity, for lack of a better word, just that enormous stature.
Yeah, footprint. Of course, got her hands and feet, Grauman's Chinese in cement.
They invented the miniature Oscar for Shirley Temple, which she got in 1935.
When you think about it, what's also amazing when someone like her passes and you forget how young she got into the business, but I was thinking the other day, her entire life spanned the entire sound era of film.
Yeah.
I mean, she went back to the beginning of talking pictures, basically.
Basically,
and saw the evolution of the motion picture right up until today. Like a lot of child stars, that youthful image changes naturally, day by day, year by year. They grow up.
Puberty happens.
The subject matter can be a problem as they age. And like a lot of child stars, she had some difficulty transitioning to adult roles. And the studios and I think audiences had difficulty taking her in those roles.
Yeah. I mean, when she made the 1940 movie The Bluebird, she was 12, which...
Ancient.
I guess by child star standards, which was basically an answer to The Wizard of Oz, 20th Century Fox's answer to The Wizard of Oz, which isn't a bad film. It's not a great film. It's not a very sympathetic role for her to play, but it was. It was a box office failure, and that was the last year of her contract with 20th Century Fox, and she sank from number one at the box office to number five, which number five isn't that great.
She's still ahead of a lot
of
big
spot.
People.
I mean... And yet, 20th Century Fox still dropped her from her contract at the ripe old age of 12 years old.
She hopped around during the 40s and made some films.
She made some wonderful films. Since You Went Away, I think, is a wonderful war picture. I don't think it's that far behind
Cary
the best years of our lives.
I'm thinking of Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer.
Lovely film.
Fort Apache. You know, these are no longer lead roles where she's the name.
Right.
She's sharing the screen with a lot of people. And in Fort Apache, the John Ford Western with John Wayne, she shares it with her then-husband, John Agar, who she's married to in the film as well. By the late 50s, early 60s, she's doing some television.
A little bit, yeah.
here and there, but had, her career had really come to a full end, I think, by the early 60s.
Yeah. And from what I understand, it was by her own choosing.
She was, I think, comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at her, I was scanning her IMDb last night, and I mean, she has 61 film credits to her.
Yeah, she racked up a lot early on. It could walk away. But she didn't, you know, a lot of stars, when Hollywood stars, when they retire early, like she did, they often just go into reclusion or disappear from the cultural landscape. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. She stayed out there in sight. She tried to run for Congress, I think, in California.
In the 60s. Yeah.
Of course, many people remember her as Shirley Temple Black, an ambassador.
Yeah. She was very happily married and had two children with her second husband, Charles Black. She did. Even though she didn't make Congress, she had a very successful political career with three different presidents. Yeah, she was the U.S. Chief of Protocol for President Jimmy Carter and was head of his inaugural ball. Mm-hmm. And she was the first woman Chief of Protocol. I think that's pretty significant. She survived breast cancer and spoke mm-hmm. very openly about that.
One of the earliest public figures to really talk about that experience.
Yeah. She was the special envoy to the United Nations, and she was ambassador to both Ghana and Czechoslovakia under two presidents, Ford and Bush the Elder. So,
a full and robust life indeed. Do you have a favorite film of all of her films?
I have two. I think for her child work, I think Bright Eyes is pretty much the quintessential.
Mm-hmm. The one that launched her.
Right. And then also Since You Went Away, I think it proves that she was very capable as an actress. And if she wanted to, she could have gone on. I really think that.
I would recommend to people, too, that don't know The Little Princess, one of the early versions of the famous story.
That was her biggest budgeted film in 1939.
I should note that you have been doing some movie reviews up at another NPR station in Las Cruces, KRWG. How do people find those movie reviews?
If you go to krwg.org/images, or I managed to launch a blog, fieldsonfilm.com. It's still a work in progress, but it's up.
Great. Well, keep it up. It's always nice to talk to you, and certainly I share your love of classic cinema, so keep that up as well. The amazing thing about the movies and these movie stars is that they're all still with us.
Right.
Jack, thanks for helping us remember Shirley Temple today.
Always.
I've been discussing the life and work of one of the cinema's most endearing stars, Shirley Temple, with classic film buff and New Mexico State University graduate student Jack Fields. Shirley Temple was one of the first major child stars to rise in the early years of talking pictures. Her iconic blonde curls and adorable face has become a part of our cultural imagery, and many know her name and face, even if they've never seen one of her films. Shirley Temple Black passed away on February 10th of this year at the age of 85, just about 80 years after her first short film role, and she's still with us on film. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.